I always like to start with a prayer. I know we just prayed for dinner, but I like to start out with that. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, thank you for gathering us together here tonight. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit that we may be open to wisdom, counsel, knowledge, understanding, piety, fortitude, and fear of the Lord. We ask that we be open to your healing to show us how temptation affects us, how sin affects us, and how you want to heal us of that. We ask that you send angels of sufficient rank, number, power, and authority to fight any evil off and away from us and off and away from our families. And we ask for the intercession of your most blessed mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Well, so when I got asked to talk, I got told I could speak about anything. So I felt like the Lord wanted me to talk to you all about fear, worry, and false expectation. So that's a lot to cover in 15 minutes, so I'm going to do my best using St. Peter. I love St. Peter because he's a mess like me. He's a mess like me. And I don't know if you guys have seen that new show. It's called The Chosen. Has anybody seen it? Okay. So the show The Chosen, it's on an app, but it's basically a series on scripture, on the apostles and their story and their walk with Christ. So it kind of goes into character development. I would call it like historical fiction, but it really delves into what each of their personalities would have been like. And I just love how Peter is in the show. The actor that plays him is phenomenal. So it got me kind of thinking about Peter and his reaction to fear and worry and his false expectations and all of that. Fear is just an emotion. You all know that, right? And emotions are a gift from God. Everything that God gives us has a redemptive quality to it. So fear is trying to teach us who to turn to with the control. Fear is a natural reaction to a lot of situations, and fear as an emotion is trying to show us who is in control, which is usually not us. Worry, however, is an action. So that's like making a choice to look away from the one who is in control and listen to the voice of the enemy. Anybody who comes to spiritual direction with me knows that I talk all the time about taking captive your thoughts. That's because St. Paul tells us to do that, because we need to know who we are listening to and whose kingdom we are serving. And so I'm going to real quick start with the walking on the water. But everybody knows this story. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. Then he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. By the way, praying, this is how we have the relationship with God, where we can hear his voice so we can serve his kingdom. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was many furlongs distance from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. How many of you feel like this? Ever? I did today, okay? Beaten by the waves with the wind against me. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. So it's like when you have a situation in front of you and it seems like impossible, in this case, a miraculous situation, it terrifies you. Normal reaction. That's a normal reaction. They were saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately he spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, have no fear." So they knew it was him. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, bid me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he does an action. He makes a choice here and looks away from Christ. He begins to sink. In beginning to sink, he cries out, "Lord, save me." So he quickly corrects himself. But Peter's just like the rest of us. Like, we get afraid, and God says, "Here I am." And then we get afraid, and then we're like, "Help me." And then God comes and helps us. And so in this, we see like these normal human interaction happening, and Jesus being God coming to save. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" So our exercise in life is always that trust. So there's a little bit of a difference between faith and trust, because faith is the belief in the things that are unseen. But trust is built with experience. And because we experience suffering, we tend to blame God for our suffering. But he is not the one that wills our suffering. The enemy is the one that wills your suffering. And if you're not talking to God in prayer, you don't know that. So the prayerful interaction with Christ and the sacraments that pour grace upon us help us to trust God. We know we should up here. We all got it up here. But when it comes down to here, like, do we trust him? When a coronavirus comes by, do we say we're shutting down mass the way the world does? Or do we say Jesus is the one who saves us and he is the one that can stop this virus? Where should our eyes be? So that little bit there with Peter, I feel like I love it, because I'm like, oh, it's so just exactly like me. Like, I'm afraid, and there you are, and I'm afraid, and there you are. But the idea is just, like, turn back to him. Turn back to him always. It's when we turn away that we start drowning. Drowning in panic, drowning in anxiety, drowning in depression, because that relationship of trust is like, it's hard. And it's built on a prayer life that you have to do every day. Mental prayer. I'm not talking about just saying your devotions. I'm talking about getting real with God, telling him all of who you are, because he already knows it, but he just wants you to be real with him. And these disciples, they walked with him for 3 years. And they really got to know him, but they still didn't get it. Not until the end. Peter's still a mess. So the next thing I wanted to talk about was the false expectation. Because I feel like we have an idea in our head of how everything's supposed to look in our life. And then when it doesn't happen, we get depressed and we get anxious, and my plans, what is that? If you tell the Lord your plans, he'll laugh. But the false expectation, we have to ask ourselves, like, are we talking to God about what his will is instead of just telling God what our will is, right? So I'm going to take you here now to the garden. Judas has betrayed Jesus. This is in the Gospel of John. In chapter 18, Judas has betrayed Jesus, and Jesus, they're coming to arrest him, and he says, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he, so if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word which he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I lost not one." That's Jesus telling you, like, I lost not one. If you come to him, the lost sheep, he is not going to let go of you. They are protected. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the chalice which the Father has given me?" So here we see Peter listening to the worldly temptation of like, okay, well, I'm gonna fight because I've seen this guy walk on water. I've seen him calm a storm. I've seen him feed 5,000 people. I've seen him raise the dead. I have seen him heal the blind, the lepers, and the sick. So I know that this guy can lay these people out flat. And then Jesus doesn't. And you have to think that, like, Peter is still expecting this, like, Messiah that's just going to, like, take over and rise Israel up. He's still expecting it, even after all this time, and Jesus, like, telling him directly, he still has a false expectation. And it made his world fall from under him. He turned to save himself at that point, because he's like, Jesus is like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to walk the path of mercy. And Peter's like, what? And then he starts lying. Right? Because he's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I got to save myself. And so then he denies and denies and denies, right? Because of his false expectation of what God should be doing. And so in the goodness of Peter, see, one of the things that Jesus saw in Peter was that Peter was gifted with leadership. He had that gift. And even though he was a mess, hot mess, he had the gift, and Jesus is like, I want to pour this gift over you. I want to pour it over you. Just like every one of you has a gift that he wants to pour over you. But we, with our false expectations, block it from being received because we're listening to the wrong kingdom, the worldly kingdom. And so once Peter hears the cock crow and he remembers what Jesus told him, he weeps bitterly. So probably like the first time he really leads and receives what God wants to give him. And he's got the opportunity then after the resurrection to repair that at the charcoal fire. You know, he denied at the charcoal fire, and then he gets to tell Jesus three times that he loves him at the charcoal fire. And it's in that moment, and then Pentecost, where because he's now surrendered everything, he's like, I give it all up to you. I'm not going to try to control this on my own. I don't know the story. Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. I surrender. And it's in that surrender, look who Peter became. He became great. I mean, he rose up to the priestly office that he was given. He gets up at Pentecost, and his preaching is so strong that 3,000 people convert right there. That is what God saw in him. And if he would have just gotten out of his own way and stopped listening to the wrong kingdom, but that's our problem. We're all listening to the wrong voice. We're listening to the one that says, you're a bad mom, you didn't do this good for your child, or you have insecurities. Like, one of my gifts is teaching, but forever the devil told me I was stupid, and I believed it, and I took it into my heart, and that was who I was, and so I couldn't go out and teach because I believed that I was stupid. And that was a lie from the pit of hell. It was a lie from the pit of hell. I'm not the smartest person in the world, but God gave me a gift. And who am I to say no to that? I need to get out of my own way and not listen to the wrong kingdom and get up and teach. And so I just, let me see how I'm doing on time here. If I can find my apps, I have 1 minute left. So, so really quickly, I just wanted to read to you from the Word of God, who God says you are. And I do have this on my table to pass out over there, but this is the Word, you guys. And if you get into Scripture and you pray, Lord, show me how this speaks into my life, it will change your life. And I know all of you women here probably do this, so I hope I'm not preaching to the choir, but this is who God says you are. I just want you to close your eyes and listen. You are God's child. You are Christ's friend. You are a member of Christ's body. You are a citizen of heaven. You are hidden with Christ in God. You are his chosen one in him before the creation of the world. You are his adopted child. You are forgiven. You are a person with a purpose. Don't let the devil steal your purpose from you. You are included. You are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. You are God's co-worker. You are the salt and the light of the earth. You are alive with Christ. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. You are God's workmanship. You are a special guest of the Father. You are secure. Think about that one. How many times do you feel insecure? You are secure. You are a holy temple. You are a dwelling for the Holy Spirit. You are a light to others. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are growing. You are united with other believers. You are victorious. You are set free. You are the light in the world. You are safe. You are a part of God's kingdom. You are not helpless. You are persevering. You are delivered. You are chosen and dearly loved. Think about that. Talk to God about what your purpose is, who he wants you to be, and what gifts he has for you to be unlocked. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen, Father. If anybody wants a copy of this list, I actually didn't read all of them because I was going over. So,